Praise the Lord Jesus. This is a Thurman Scrivener for the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking on a series about angels, how these big boys affect us, and our series that we talk about how to walk in divine health. This really plays a great part in this because these angels can keep you free from the forces of darkness. And the forces of darkness are what bring sickness and disease to us. I believe that Satan is the one that is responsible for all sickness and disease. I don't believe that there was any sickness and disease on this earth until he became the God of this world. I believe that Scripture teaches us that when man sinned, when Satan came into the garden, he brought a twofold curse. He brought sin, and he brought sickness and disease. And before man sinned, before man fell in the garden, before Satan showed up, there was no sin, and there was no sickness and disease. But immediately, when Satan became the god of this world, man had this twofold curse, that he was now a sinful creature, and that it would bring sickness and disease and death. The Lord told us it would. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as we discuss the word today, let it go forth and let it bless people. Let them understand who they are and what they can do and how they can call on these magnificent beings of grandeur, these magnificent angels to help them in times of need. Now, thank you, Father, for giving us revelation, wisdom, and understanding from your word as we continue on in chapter 2. Of the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to read a couple of scriptures here in Hebrews to start out with. Chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, of the Son of Man that you take care of him?'" It says, "You have made him a little lower than the angels, man. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands." Set him over the works of your hands. Well, in other words, how are you going to escape, as we read all of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, he's talking about how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And how are you going to escape from problems in this earth if you neglect this great deliverance that comes from the supernatural deliverance of angels? These angels, these beings of grandeur, are sent there to minister for you. Now, if you neglect that and don't look into it and you don't realize you have these guys to protect you and you can call on them, well, then chances are the forces of darkness are going to beat up on you. Now, the ministry of angels is available to you if you're a son or a daughter of God. But it is like everything else in the Word of God. It is not automatic. You must know it is yours from your study of God's Word, and you must receive it by faith. You know, and you must learn to speak these things into existence with your mouth by faith in the Word of God. Now then, why are so many people on this earth lost? All of us that are saved, we know that answer. Well, because they have refused to accept Jesus by faith in His Word. By faith, you have to come to Christ by faith in His Word. Somebody said, "Well, I got saved when I was 3 years old or 5 years old or 20 years old. And I said, "Well, good. How do you know you got saved?" "Well, I've been saved forever. I was born into a Christian family." No, that will not save you. You must realize you're a sinner and you must come to the Lord by faith in His Word. If you don't come to Him by faith in His Word, you will not, and you are not saved. Being saved is something that's done by faith in the Word of God. If Jesus said He came to die for your sins, then you must receive that by faith. And when you confess that by faith with your mouth and believe in your heart, then it really works. But until that time, it does not work. Well, why is it that so many people are lost on the earth? Because they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. Well, why is it so many people in the church are sicker and afflicted and they don't know about angels? Because they've never spent the time reading the Word. Almost everybody knows about angels. They see them. People make figurines of them. They do all kinds of things. But the average person is like I was the first two-thirds of my life. I never had an angel help me. I didn't know what was available. But angels are there to help us. Now then, a story just come to my mind about years ago when my son, this had been about 12 years ago right now, my son had just gotten out of high school. And he was in extremely great shape physically. He played football and everything. Well, one day we went down the pasture and there was a great big Brangus bull that had tore the fence down and my neighbor's fence and my fence. And he'd got in with several of my cows. I didn't want him in there with those cows. So we were trying to get him out of that herd. We ran him. I mean, my son run him. I run him. I tried to separate him with a pickup. I even ran into him one time with the left front fender of my pickup, just trying to nudge him. I didn't bend the pickup or anything. I just barely hit him. But I did get so mad at him, I literally ran into him with the left front fender of my pickup, trying to separate him from the cows. Could not get him out of that herd of cows. No way. My son, after about an hour of this running and chasing, my son, I stopped and he said, "Dad, we might as well give up. We're never going to get that big monster out of that herd of cows without a couple of horses and a couple of more men." I said, "Son, we have help that you know not of." He said, "What do you mean, Dad?" I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel." I said, "Thank you, Lord." I said, "Angel, I want you to go over there and I want you to get that bull by the neck. I want you to raise up his neck and I want you to walk him just as straight toward that fence right yonder. And when you get him at that fence, I want you to turn him north and I want you to take him down that fence to right down there about a quarter mile at the end of that fence. I got a gate open and I want you to lead him right through that gate and then I'll go close the gate." I said, "Thank you, Father, for the angel." I said, "Now thank you, angel, for doing what I commanded you to do in the name of Jesus." I said, "Okay, son, let's get the bull." And my son looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Come on, son." And we started toward the herd of cows. And my son's just following along with me. And all of a sudden, that bull's neck, his head just come up like this, like somebody reached up and just picked his head up. He walked out of that herd of cows and walked straight where I'd pointed my finger to that fence. He turned north and walked right down that fence and we walked about 50, 60 yards behind him. My son sitting there saying, "Dad, this is another one of your stories. If I hadn't have been here to have seen this, I would have never believed this." I said, "Son, that's why people don't get anything from God. God promised us these things. He told us what we could do, and we don't believe him." But I said, "When you call on the Father by faith in the name of Jesus, he will do exactly what he said." And I said, "He told us he sent these angels, these wonderful, magnificent beings of grandeur. He sent those big boys to minister for us." In other words, to help us. I said, "It's amazing how many things you can get done in life if you call on your angels. They will help you do these things." So the bull went right on down, walked right through the gate, went right on out into the other pasture, and he never did even look back. Think, an angel done something that my son and I could not do. In the physical flesh, we were trying to get a bull out of a herd of cows. And that bull, that's why he came over there. He wanted to be with those girls. He didn't want to be over there in the pasture by himself. He wanted to be over there with those girls. But that angel changed his mind. That angel led him just as straight as I had commanded him, wherever where I had told him to take him. That angel totally, completely obeyed me and took that bull and put him right in that pasture. Now then, if you believe God's word, that these spirits are sent for you and me to help us on this earth, then when you ask the Father in Jesus' name to send one to help you, he will do it. After all, Jesus said that he could ask his Father for 12 legions of these boys. Well, 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels. Well, you don't need 72,000. You only need one or two. Maybe once in a while you might need three or four. But as a rule, you only need one. They can do great and awesome things. My son and I couldn't do anything to that big old bull. But let me tell you, one angel, just as easy, led him right out of that herd of cows and right down there and right through that gate, and he never did even look back. Now then, they can do great and wonderful things, and they will help you if you will only believe the word of God and act on what is written. God has given us this great and awesome privilege. Now then, have you ever had these kind of things happen to you? If you have, it might be a good idea if you tell your friends or your relatives or your church about these wonderful things. Give these testimonies and tell people how you did them so that they will grow and so they will know. Now then, if you've never had one of these things happen, why haven't these things happened to you? Because these things are available. Have you ever believed for these things? Have you ever commanded your angels to go and cause God's word to be performed for you? Well, if you haven't, shame on you. I guess most of us have let these things slip from us. We just don't believe these mighty promises of God. Sometimes we think it's too good to be true. Well, let me tell you, it's a wonderful place to live. And when we learn these things, you will have a great and wonderful life on this earth. These great and wonderful beings called angels will help you do great and wonderful things. So, hey, believe the word. It really does work. Now, let's look at this Psalms 91 a little bit. Let's read Psalms 91. Let's see what God says about angels here. But what we have to do to get him to send these angels to do these things. Now listen to what he says. The very first thing he says, and this is the way God always starts out. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Well, let me ask the question. How is it that you dwell in the secret place of the Most High? How do you abide there? Well, you have to spend time with God. A lot of it. You have to study his word, love him and worship him and praise him, and put the king first.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.